It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Yucky?
The yucky.
Or the yucky and icky and gross.
They are so gross.
They are so gross. Joel, are you rolling?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Everywhere?
I think so.
All the cameras and the microphones?
Probably.
Joel. Best in the biz, bud.
I haven't fucked up yet somehow.
You have not fucked up where...
Well, I had that one show that had I was a little blown out for like the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So I take responsibility for that.
Yeah, but other than that, again, we were talking about your long and illustrious career.
It's a great career.
Great career.
Yeah, great career.
It's gotten you...
a very, very good career.
It's gotten you to the very top, which is this.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
It's all
gotten
downhill
you to the
from here.
Tippy top of the mountain, which is Crime Corner. Yeah.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Hey guys, we're doing another Mama Speedball. Afternoon happy hour show.
Yeah,
right.
Gotta love these.
Aren't they good?
I like them, honestly.
I think probably the audience likes it as well because mom isn't slurring and traumatizing the children. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ruben's like, oh, God. Like.
Oh, great. Jesse's on a bender again.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we have to hear Jesse's views on. This fucking case, right? But we're going to do, for the Mama Speedball episode, we're going to do a fun one. We're going to do a classic, a well-known, a heavy hitter. And we are going to do one that hits a couple, it checks a couple boxes as far as a debate that we often have on Ross Patterson Revolution.
Ooh.
As far as, and we'll get into it, but as far as like the double standards, what is actual abuse? What is, hell yeah, you did it,
yeah,
you go for it,
yeah,
right?
This is a really good one for that.
Right. There is also a little bit of like, did they or didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Debate.
Die? Oh, debate.
Someone's dead, Joel.
Someone does die in this one.
Do you want to leave? I know.
I'm okay right now.
Someone does die. Okay. So we are doing the well-known, highly publicized, first of its kind, Pamela Smart.
And this one was one of the first cases where it became like a nationwide media circus.
Yeah, so this was before Menendez Boys.
Before
OJ. Literally right before, but it was the first... Gavel to gavel. There was no court TV or anything, so it was first televised from beginning to end, the boring stuff, the everything, that people were riveted, watching in bars, being like, oh my God, we can like see into the court. It was, we've said before, you know, Menendez, OJ's was the first, whatever. Pamela Smart was, in fact, the first.
Okay.
So, a little bit of history, guys. We're going deep. Into the archives.
Pamela Smart walked so Jodi Arias could run.
Yes. Right into... Was there something with a glass door with her? Anyways, we'll do Jodius. We'll do Jodi Arias at some point, too. That's a fun one. She's a fun one.
It'd be fun to do a series of, like, thirst trap murderers. Jodi Arias. Who was the other one? The one who gave a bunch of Xanax to her daughter.
Thirst trap is God. Like Black Widow stuff.
Oh, just super hot ladies that murder.
It's it's the hot crazy chicks that they pull you in. Take it a little bit too far. You know,
yeah.
All the way to, if I can't have you, no one can kind of thing.
That's hot.
That, yeah. If the guy would have just stayed with him, he would have been alive, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. My sister was actually telling me just recently that I should start offering a service where guys can send me pictures of their girlfriends, like some girl that they just started dating. And if I'm attracted to them, then they immediately have to cut off the relationship and it's going to save them a lot of trouble.
That's actually, Coop? That's a good idea. You could make money.
I've got a nose Coop? For it.
Million-dollar idea. No
taste.
One else can do it.
My sister is a genius. I'm not.
What would the app be called, guys? Let's go. What would the app Ooh. Be?
Coop's Red Flag Radar.
Yeah. It'd have to be... Maybe,
well, it's gotta be like a Silicon Valley name, like Flagger. Flagr.
Ooh, that's
or
good.
Something like
but
that.
But you have to have your name in it.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
But we'll workshop it a little bit more.
You do have an incredible Red Flag Radar. You just ignore it.
Oh, dude, I'm batting 1,000.
Yeah.
Coop-dar or I'm something like that.
Coop-dar.
I don't know.
Also, speaking of my sister, I have a gift from my sister to you. I wanted to give it to you on the air, so I waited to say anything about it.
Oh!
Is that a rabbit? One of those rabbit toys?
I'm so excited. What?
What is it?
Crime
what is it?
Juice.
It's a
bracelet.
Juice on it?
But like.
She made you a friendship bracelet.
Oh my gosh.
You guys haven't even met yet.
Talk
but
about
yeah,
a red
I know,
flag.
But I feel like.
I know, my sister is nuts. That's where I get it. Runs
I
in the family.
Feel like I know her, and I feel like we were connected in a way that, like, we both know that we are, but we're like, maybe we shouldn't meet, right? Because it's
no
so
joke,
good right now.
There are so many situations where I'll be hanging out with my sister and talking to her, and she'll say something. I'll be like, Jesse would say the exact
same thing.
Those are Jesse's words coming out of my sister's mouth.
You guys have a connection because
well,
you both
you.
Have to put up with.
Yeah.
It's like I have two moms. Well, three if I count my real mom, but.
She's never
four.
Really counted as a mom. She's a bro, dude.
Yeah.
Four if you count Joel. All right.
So, yeah, you got your crime juice
Thank
bracelet. She
you.
Made one for me that says diarrhea, and she's working on one for Joel, but she won't tell me what it says.
I'm scared.
It's the F word, probably.
You think?
Yeah, but which one? There's one that's real fun, and there's one that's kind of boring.
If it was me, and again, we're connected, if it was me, I think she would probably put Coop's fuckboy, right?
That would be sweet.
That would be sweet, because
that...
it's funny, a dig,
or
you know
the
what
N-word.
I mean?
Like Joel, that'd be sick.
Just the N-word with a hard R.
Man, that is
God.
That's it.
I couldn't wear that.
We could
it's
make our own
small.
Version of Huckleberry Finn with you using that name. It's just me and you floating down the Mississippi River.
Oh
God!
You should do it, boys. You should do it.
Cuckleberry Finn and N-word Joel.
Cuckleberry Finn.
That's the name of the app, dude.
Cuckleberry Finn.
Yeah, it sounded not to be a because it stops you from being a cuck.
Oh,
true.
Ooh. Nice.
There you go.
Simp Stopper.
Oh, Simp Stopper. I like that even better.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Simp Stopper's good. That's
yeah. Simp
You're
Stopper.
Welcome.
Download the Simp Stopper at simstop.com.
Simp Stop. Coop will save your life.
I'm sacrificing myself. So I'm not making any changes to what I'm doing. I'm just helping other people not
and
make
And you know
the same
what you're also going to do? Is like
hang out with all the chicks that they ask about.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's basically Coop's dating app, and he takes the girls away from you and...
It destroys his life. That's some John McAfee
falls
shit.
Falls on the sword. I know. All right, what do you guys think? Should we...
Yeah, let's
get
go ahead
into
and
this
into
crazy gal? Now, you guys are going to decide... We don't know, but let's get into it.
The 90s were, without question, the greatest decade in human history, and that's a hill that I will die on. It was these years that gave us musical hits like Little Miss Can't Be Wrong by the Spin Doctors.
And,
dude, fucking great hell. Band, great band.
That needs to be mental note, ching-ching-ching-ching, hype song.
Instantly, I should have brought that up before the episode this week. But yeah, oh, I
great song.
Instantly
great
turned you
band.
Into a hacky sack champion when you turn that song on. We also got Fly by Sugar Ray in the 90s. I think that came out in 96, 97. Or no, that was 98.
You know in Definitely those 98. Days who would always get mistaken for McGrath?
Who?
Take a guess. Someone
Ross.
We know.
Ross.
Bleach the tips.
Did he have frosted tips?
Breach. They were at least up. You know what I mean? It was at least spiked up like that. Yeah.
My man.
I love it. We in the 90s, we were also given cinematic masterpieces like Aladdin. Great Disney film. Aladdin 2, The Return of Jafar.
I love that one.
Another great film. And Aladdin and the King of Thieves.
Is that true?
I never saw the third one, but I like the second one, actually.
All of those?
And the third one, and King of Thieves, he actually meets his dad. His dad's the King of Thieves.
Oh. Wow.
Also, fun fact, in 1997 alone, movie theaters were graced with three contenders for the greatest film of all time. Starship Troopers, obviously, Con Air, and Face Off. Did you guys know those both came out in the same year?
Bullshit. There's no way.
We can't.
I didn't think.
There's like, no fucking way that's true.
When I learned that, it blew my mind.
You're
there's
lying.
No way
that they
true.
Both came
You're
out lying. In the same year.
Prove it.
No,
Coop.
I'm telling you, we'll look it up at some point.
Show me proof.
we'll find the receipts after the show's over. The 90s also gave us some of the most romantic real-life love stories of all time. The passionate romance of John and Lorena Bobbitt. The forbidden love between Mary-Kay Letourneau and Willy Flau.
I don't know that one.
I've never understood how to say that guy's last name. Flau?
It's Flau, yeah.
Flau. What did he do?
Flau. What did
teacher.
He do?
Yeah.
His teacher, yeah.
Oh, sick.
Mary-Kay Letourneau. She was a banger
13.
Back in the day.
13.
God damn.
That's hot.
That's I mean, good one, actually.
Again, that kind of plays into the whole thing. Is it a high? Is it abuse or is it a high five situation?
I know.
And the 90s also gave us the classic boy meets girl, boy slashes girl's throat story of O.J. and Nicole Brown Simpson. However, unlike the previous examples, one love story from the 90s had a tragic ending. That is the story of Pamela Smart.
The other ones didn't have a tragic. Yeah, no. Because O.J. was free.
Who's
so...
O.J.? Just kidding.
Orenthal James Simpson. He was in the Naked Gun movies.
Oh, I love that
I'm not sure
guy.
What else he did.
I know him from the Hertz commercials, but...
Yeah, he did that,
too. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And aside from that, I don't think he did anything else.
Anything else of note.
Aside from Gun, killing when he catches, a cheating bitch.
In Naked Gun, when he catches the baby. Do you guys remember that scene? There's, like, a scene when he's in a wheelchair, and then, like, a lady trips down, like, the courthouse stairs and, like, throws a baby up in the air.
Can you find it?
Maybe I could. But I saw that when I was a kid. And it's been in my head forever.
Isn't like, it weird the things that fucking...
It stayed with me forever, yeah.
Imprint.
And then he like touchdowns the baby on accident because he's OJ. And he's like, oops, oh fuck.
By the way, the thing, like he was really good and funny.
Oh, in the Naked Gun movies? He was great.
Yeah. If I was going to be like, could he get away with murder because of the beloved, how good he was at so many things, I would be like, yeah. That guy could. And I think many people even said that before it happened. They go, that guy could get away with murder. I mean, he's just, everyone loves him, so charming, everything.
And it turns out they were right.
Absolutely.
Totally got away with murder.
What I was hoping for with that motherfucker was on the deathbed, just being like, oh, I did it. Do you know what
it
I mean?
It would have been so good.
God, deathbed what confession. A fucking way to go. Being like, I fucking fooled you.
It must have happened too fast.
That's the thing. He was about to.
It went down
to.
So fast. And, yeah.
Yeah. And somebody was just like, I can't pull the plug. Okay. On May 1st, 1990. Are you finding the clip, actually?
I'm trying to. I'm having trouble finding it. It's not,
you literally, OJ.
I searched OJ Simpson
spiking
Naked Gun
a baby,
catches baby.
OJ spiking a baby in Naked Gun.
I'm trying.
Okay, look.
I'm seeing a lot of his scenes, but not the one that is stuck in my head. I'm trying to find that one. I'll just play this one. Here, I'm just going to play this one.
Falling down the stairs in the wheelchair. Oh.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Like, he was so good. I don't know if you guys could tell from that clip.
Great
amazing actor.
Oh, great. Did he do anything else aside from Naked Gun? I don't think he did.
Acting-wise?
He played football.
Did he?
No. He didn't do that.
Are you sure? No, that was Wilt Chamberlain.
He killed his wife. did that too.
That, yeah.
Well.
Allegedly.
Thank you. On May 1st, 1990, in Derry, New Hampshire. And the accent with New Hampshire is a little, it's got a Boston, it's got a little, I won't do it the whole time. I'm just saying this is the kind of thing we're dealing with. So in Derry, New Hampshire, 22-year-old Pamela Smart had just returned home from her job as a media coordinator at a local high school. Upon arriving, she discovered that the condominium, condo.
Ooh, classy.
That's long for condo. condominium she shared with her husband had been ransacked while she was away. Among the scattered possessions strewn across the ground was the body of Pamela's husband, Gregory Smart. He had been shot once in the head, execution style. He had been murdered less than 1 week before the couple's first wedding anniversary. So it's only been a year of marriage.
Very, very close to a year. I think he was murdered on a Tuesday, and their one-year wedding anniversary was the following Monday. Almost made it a year.
They were together for a very long time before that.
Yeah.
But marriage only a year. Police soon arrived on the scene, and an investigation into Gregory's murder was launched. From the condition of the condo, that's short for condominium, it appeared to be a case of a burglary gone wrong, right?
That's always the case.
This is tale as old as time. Those burglars, when you catch them burgling, don't put
Burgle
it up.
Burglecut!
Peck, peck, peck. All right.
This is them or no?
What?
That's Pamela Smart on the left and Gregory
and
Smart.
And that's Gregory
on the
right.
They're so young.
Cute kids. I know, 22.
22 and 24. Aww.
By the way, you guys know my feeling on getting married too early. But anyway, so.
You get the first one out of the way soon, get it over with, so you can move on to the real marriage.
Absolutely. I introduce Ross as my first husband all the time. This is my first husband, Ross. He's like, what? Detectives believe that one or more suspects had broken into the home, but were interrupted by Gregory before they could escape. An altercation took place and one shot was fired, killing Gregory instantly. With their theory in place, the police began to search for the killer. This
he's
ransacking.
Dead already?
What?
He's dead already.
Mm-hmm. Greg.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been dead for quite a while now.
We've got a...
Yeah, that's true. What year was this?
We've got a dead... The 90s. We've got a dead body, Joel.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm good still.
He's good. He's good, Coop. So this burglary, this ransack, was... Burgle cut. That was a different picture. I like that one. It's just so disgusting.
Burgle cut is the image for a burglar.
Perfect villain, because you're just like, ah. Yeah.
Oh, so you think Warwick Davis is hot, but that's not sexy.
Yep.
Warwick is the like one of the most handsome
men, men in the world.
Yeah. This no.
This no.
His hands.
God, the sweaty. You can see the sweatiness too.
It's just not right seeing hands that big on somebody that small with Warwick Davis.
Right.
Something about it weirds me out.
Does he have a huge dong, Jesse?
Mm-hmm. So it's the hands. The thing about little people, hands normal size, penis normal size. Okay. Body smaller.
That's why that TLC show is called Little People, Big Cocks.
Yes.
Great show, by the way.
Very good show. So I was saying this burglary was actually really good. It was insane. Stuff was taken. Things were everywhere. It was ransacked. It wasn't like, a drawer in the kitchen. It was like, shit was fucked up everywhere.
So it could actually
be a
burglary?
So they were like, holy shit. I mean, someone was fucking this place up, right?
Okay.
Pamela, is it Wojas?
I thought it's either Wojas or Wojas. If she's Polish, then it's probably Wojas.
I think I heard Wojas. So her name was Wojas at the time. So Pamela Wojas was born in Coral Gables, Florida on August 16th, 1967. She and her parents lived in Miami until Pamela was in eighth grade, at which point their family moved to Derry, New Hampshire. After graduating from high school, Pamela returned to Florida to get a degree in communications from FSU.
Hell yeah, best college in the country.
Where she fucked shit up.
When I was playing in the hardcore music scene, or just when I was back in the music scene, one of the most obnoxious, it's like a white boy gang or a clique or something. They call them crews, but it was just a bunch of suburban white boys trying to act like they were hard.
Rich kids.
One of the worst ones was FSU, which was short for, it was either Fuck Shit Up or Friends Stand United, depending on who you ask. Without question, all of them assholes. Huge assholes. Hated it when they showed up to any goddamn show.
Of course.
So while visiting her family in New Hampshire over Christmas break in 1986, Pamela met Gregory Smart. Pam and Greg began dating the following year, and in 1989, they got married. Greg moved to Florida to live with Pamela while she finished her senior year of college, and once she had graduated, they returned to New Hampshire. That's got to be a weird, adjustment to make going from FSU back to like a small town in
exactly.
New Hampshire, because Derry has a population of like 30,000 or something like that.
Exactly. And at that age and, you know, settling down and changing everything at 22, my God, we still can't get it together.
I'm still settling down.
I know. We're only 30. So another thing to say about that is pertinent, but Pamela was super into metal.
Really?
Pamela. Yes, she had a radio show where she was called Madam Metal, or the Madam Metal, Maiden of Metal. Looked like a cheerleader, like totally, you know, didn't look like she would be into like metal, rock bands, whatever. And she loved, I think part of the reason when she met Greg, she loved that he had that look. He had the long hair. She talked about, like, you know what I mean? He was super into metal and rock bands. I think he was even in a band maybe. And like, that was their connection. That was the thing that they really loved about each other. If you can pull up maybe a picture of,
we do have a picture Greg of Gregory
when
with long hair.
When they met, and, she's like this unassuming hardcore metal chick. So weird.
This is Greg.
Look at that. And by the way, 90s, you know.
I mean, he looks like a cast member straight out of Stranger Things.
She said many times that she loved like his hair and just his rock and roll fucking metal shit. Okay.
Yeah, who wouldn't? There's a lot of gray hair in this episode.
Who wouldn't?
Upon returning to New Hampshire, Greg got a job as an insurance salesman with Metropolitan Life Insurance in Nashua, New Hampshire has some weird fucking city names.
God, the people's names in this, great, right?
Yeah, actually, surprisingly.
The cities and stuff. Ugh.
It's a huge mess.
I know. We can't win them all, huh?
Yeah. So Greg got a job as an insurance salesman with Metropolitan Life Insurance.
Look at these two.
Metropolitan Coop. Life Insurance.
Sorry.
These
two were like in Florida, fucking shit up, right?
She's a metalhead.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
They're rocking out to Motley Crue and Winger.
Yep.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
They named their dog
Van Halen.
Halen, I think.
No shit.
Yeah. And
I love them.
Yeah. They were maybe undercover, or maybe it was just a little bit more like, oh, they're just, you know, like that. But so think about those two, the picture that we just saw, moving around the same time, moving from fuck shit up Florida to New Hampshire and like becoming, you know, right away becoming an insurance salesman, like trying to getting a house, you know.
It's a rough adjustment to make.
I know. Sorry.
So Gregory got a job with Metropolitan Life Insurance in Nashua while Pamela started working as a media director for Winnicunnet, but I've just in my head it's always been Winnicunnet.
Winnicunnet.
So Winnicunnet High School.
Winnicunnet, yeah.
The couple decided to purchase a condo in Derry as their first home due to it being roughly halfway between their two jobs. They lived there for only a matter of months before Greg was murdered. Since a couple had only been living in Derry for a few months, police knew it was unlikely that they had made any mortal enemies. Pamela was obviously the first suspect, but at the time of the murder, she had been attending a high school board meeting 45 minutes away. That was out in Hampton where she was working. Multiple witnesses reported her being at the meeting, meaning her alibi was rock solid. Investigators had no other option but to go back to the drawing board.
So at this time, too, Pamela is thought of and looked at as like the grieving widow. Everyone that heard the story was just like devastated. She was doing TV interviews at this time and always looked like really put together, makeup, hair, you know, Halen next to her. And did a lot of these interviews, which was the first kind of like, okay, like you're not in bed. You can't get, you know, like your husband was just literally just murdered. Like you should be like, I don't want to fucking talk to anyone.
I would think that it'd be difficult to feather your bangs that well if you're grieving over
and do a wing tip liner. I know
you go straight to a Guns N' Roses concert if you're a metalhead and your spouse dies.
Oh yeah.
I actually found proof that they're metalheads in the photo.
Look at this!
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Look at these two. And if you see here, this is where... So Greg has cut the hair, which she's not loving.
You can already see she's looking away, not paying attention to
him. You can already see that, like, look at me, not him. Anyways.
I like the guy in the back. Is that his brother? Does he have a brother?
No, I think, and look, is it Harley Davidson?
Yeah, dude.
Little guitar on the jean button up.
Oh, yeah, look
My
at that.
Goodness. Real metal.
These are the people that I grew up
Motley Crue.
These are the people that are our parents.
Oh, yeah, these were like parties that my dad would have. That's exactly how everyone fucking looked.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is everyone so happy and having a good time? trying their soda. Oh, that's why. Okay. Bud Heavies. After a couple weeks, police had exhausted all of their leads. They had no murder weapon, no suspects, and no witnesses. The trail was quickly growing cold, leaving little hope that the murderer would have been caught. Then detectives finally got the break they were looking for when a man walked into the police station and handed them a Charter Arms 38 caliber pistol. It was the pistol that had been used to kill Gregory Smart. So now they've got a weapon. Vance Latime?
I was assuming it's Latime or Latime.
Latime was the father of a student at Winnicott High School named J.R. Vance. They called him Junior. While looking through some of his son's belongings, he found a .38 revolver that had gone missing from his gun collection a few weeks earlier. Concerned that it may have been used in the murder of Gregory Smart, Vance brought the weapon to police. It was exactly what detectives needed to continue their investigation. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Now we've got a kid, like a high school kid, that has used a gun for something. And the dad is like, I don't know, but here you go.
That was another one of the things that made the 90s so much better. One of the best decades, because you could have a gun go missing and you don't even think about it.
Right?
You don't even think about it until a few weeks later after a murder case has been opened up and you suddenly find a weapon in your child's room. Then you start thinking like, oh, that's a little
weird.
Then
you go like, maybe I should lock these up. Right.
Yeah, I would have thrown that thing away.
That is definitely a debate I've had many times in my head.
Kids,
if your kid killed someone, would you help him?
I know. I don't have the answer.
I have the answer. Yes, of course I would.
Yeah, okay.
I'd help him kill a motherfucker, too.
She has the answer. She just can't say it.
JonBenet Ramsey's mom, that's what I would do.
What did she do?
Nothing.
I think she...
Cover up the fact that her son killed her daughter.
That her son killed her daughter.
Yeah, that's, we need to cover that case at some point, because that's, yeah, that is,
that's a big one though. And you know who would want to be on that one is Jared, unfortunately. So I'm holding off.
That would be fun.
What would you do if someone, okay, this is a fucked up question, but what if one of your son's girlfriends might have murdered your son?
Son's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like, I'd kill her my fucking self. What do you say?
No, for sure, but she's being accused of it and there's pretty good evidence. You're the mom. You'd kill her?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even without any evidence or anything like that, the first person that you would suspect would be the girlfriend, so you just get him out of the way.
Well, I'd show her picture to Coop, and then I'd go, what do you think? Can I use your Simp Stopper app to find out if this bitch did it? And you would take one look at her and go, Yep,
she did it.
And what's her number? Yeah.
How old is she?
What's her number? Let's be real, but.
JR was brought in for questioning and gave investigators all of the information they needed to arrest his accomplices. According to JR, he hadn't taken part in the actual murder, but he had provided the pistol and drove the getaway vehicle. It was his father's pistol and his grandmother's car that he used as the getaway vehicle.
They had a whole plan?
And he is, do we say they're 15 at this point?
Yeah.
Jesus. So these are 15-year-old kids.
Yeah, he gave the police a list of names, and soon afterwards, three additional students from Winnicott High School were arrested. William Billy Flynn, Patrick Pete Randall, and Raymond Fowler. Raymond didn't have a nickname. It's kind of a bummer for him. I would think they call him Ray or something like that.
Yeah.
But like you were just saying, the oldest of the group at the time was only 16.
Yes.
Around the time that J.R. Lateem and his friends were arrested, police received an anonymous tip that opened up yet another avenue of investigation. The tipster informed them that a student named Cecilia Pierce had information regarding the murder plot, including the identity of an additional accomplice. Cecilia was called in for questioning, and the mystery around Gregory Smart's murder was finally solved. Fun fact, my first girlfriend ever was named Cecilia, and like when I was real young. I was mm-hmm. in like, and I'd say maybe fourth grade, third grade, something like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't choose her. She chose me, and the reason that she was able to do that was because she was the biggest student in the entire school. I'm talking like probably 200 pounds in fifth grade. And big girl.
Sure. Because that could be Amazon as well, but if it's round.
She was tall and wide. She was a well-built woman.
Okay.
She decided that I was her boyfriend, and if I ever disagreed with her, I would be treated poorly.
I found a picture of her, actually.
And you found out. Cecilia!
That's her.
There you are.
Yeah, that's Cecilia.
Sorry.
I'm glad she's doing well.
And you found out what it's like to be a woman for a little bit.
For a little while. And then I got the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Okay. Do you mind getting me a liquid death sparkling Absolutely. While I read this? So Cecilia, not Coop's abuser, not Coop's high school abuser. Cecilia Pierce was an aspiring journalist and student at Winnicott High School.
Winnicott.
Let's just go Winnicott. And you, Winnicott. She had met Pamela Smart when she was signed on as an intern for her in the media department. Thank you, buddy. So, do we say exactly what Pam did at the school, or do we say that here?
We don't get super into detail about it. If you have any other details, because the only thing I found was she was the media director, pretty much like running the school, almost like the school newspaper or news station or something like that.
It was like a program they were doing. It was like almost like a dare, like some kind of, anti-drug campaign that they were doing. It was called Self-Esteem. And she was hired to basically be in charge of the media department, and she had a secretary, and she had interns. So kids almost like, the adult film department
I worked in
the school that every school should have. have at this point. It's an OnlyFans type of class, you know. And by Only the way, fans not far off from that probably happening at some point. But so she wasn't exactly like an employee of the school. She was working on a program at the school. And again, she had interns that were students. She had a secretary. She was basically in charge. So, Pamela Smart Cecilia was an intern for Pamela in the media department when she was 15 years old. Despite the age difference, she and Pamela became friends, and the two would often spend time together outside of school. Cecilia would fairly regularly visit Pamela and Gregory at their home to have dinner, and even went sledding with the couple shortly after they moved into town.
Is it just me,
Coop? What?
Is it, well, that was something that Cecilia brought up about how close they were. Is like very, very soon after she started up with the media program, they became friends. They started hanging out. It's kind of a red flag if any adult is considering like a teenager a friend.
Not in the 90s.
Not in the 90s. It was a better decade.
Totally normal to just go fucking party with the teacher. Do you know what I mean? We now know not so great. But back then it would be like, oh yeah, they're so cool. Like I went to fucking, you know, Miss Smart's house. Like it was sweet, right?
So it's sort of like the way that
we train on her.
We learned our lesson in the
nothing.
So
we learned our lesson in the 80s that you don't let your kids walk around and talk to strangers by themselves.
Right. But a teacher
for years. But yeah, you should be able to trust a teacher.
Yeah. But our next lesson was in the 90s. Trust every teacher. You could do what they're the most trustworthy. You know, they're taking care of your kids. They're the best. They're like an extension of you, right?
Yeah.
As a parent.
Mary Kay Letourneau took really good care of Billy Falau.
A lot of teachers in the 90s took care of their students. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I wish my English teacher took care of me. He was hot. It was a she.
What, now or then?
Who knows at this point?
Yeah, so they went sledding with the couple shortly.
Is that slang for, like, sexual activity?
No, I think it's New Hampshire. So, you know, there's little snowy hills everywhere. They go sledding. So not long before Greg's murder, Cecilia was walking by Pamela's office when she overheard her having a conversation with a 15-year-old student named Billy Flynn. Cecilia was shocked to hear Pamela and Billy talking about a sexual relationship the two had secretly been having. Her shock quickly changed to horror when the illicit couple began discussing their plan to murder Pamela's husband, Gregory. So can we put up a picture of Billy at this point?
Yeah, we've got one. I didn't have any outside of the court case, but there is one from the court case, which is
can you just find like Billy Flynn high school picture?
Let me see. Yeah, give me a second.
Billy Flynn high school.
Flynn.
The only one that popped up for me when I was trying to find high school pictures of him was the one actually in court.
There's one that's like, he looks exactly like Greg back in the day. Long hair. He's
Before
in a
Greg
band. He's
hair.
Got, yes.
Oh, they look the same?
I mean, Pamela has a type, and she was real pissed that Greg was no longer that type, right?
Hey, that's what brought down Samson also. You don't cut your hair.
You don't cut your hair.
They're all from the court.
Really?
Yeah.
There's not one.
I searched that exact thing, and they're all. They do look the same, though.
All right, put him.
I'm trying to find.
I don't want to put up the court thing just yet. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
I'll keep looking.
All right.
Also, Billy Flynn. Great fucking name.
Oh,
that's a great name.
Great name. He's in a band too.
His name's Billy Flynn and he's in a band. I would have banged him too.
I know. Well.
Well. I mean once he was over 18.
He was 15. Obviously. When he was 15. When I think about that relationship though, I go, girl, 15?
What could they?
How
does that even start? I mean, a 15-year-old kid, regardless of the fact that his name's Billy Flynn, he's got a sweet-ass mullet and he's in a band, there's no way that he's spitting any good game at that point.
And here's the debate that we can have, where if it was a girl, 15, and the teacher is a dude, we're like,
the
fuck
dude's fucked.
No, fuck no.
Yeah, definitely.
But this, and I'm sure, I mean, Ross would say, I've asked this to every guy in the studio, it would be a high five.
Agreed.
It's also like she's like a young, hot, not quite a teacher, but she's always around school. Boys were always like
spicy picture.
The white bikini.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a.
Oh, I've got that ready. Of course I do.
Yeah. So this is the teacher.
Yeah. Imagine you're 15 years old and you got that.
Right.
Flirting with you. Of course you're going to go for
right.
it.
Right. That again, isn't quite a teacher, is like a fun department that's like loose. It's not really, you don't get grades. She's just like another student.
Perfect situation.
I know. And 20, by the way, 22 is very young
too.
That's
why college was so fun for everybody. Because everybody was fucking all the teachers and shit. It was
yeah,
a
but
party.
But the age difference wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, your teacher could be like 32.
Right.
And you could be 22. Let's fuck, you know?
Right, yeah, legally, right, dude, for
well, I mean,
sure.
Legally speaking, that is the above the legal age of consent.
I know.
And
it's just inappropriate, and that's what makes it even more fun.
Exactly.
Fuck, I can't disagree
the
with you on
secret,
that one.
The secret, like, anyway.
Have
go
you
ahead.
Got, none of you have banged a teacher?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, not while I was going to school.
While you were a student?
No.
You banged a teacher, though, in general?
Yeah.
Sweet, dude.
Kindergarten teacher.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Didn't bang a teacher, but had a crush on my middle school science teacher.
Sweet.
And when I moved to Vegas.
Your relationship fell apart?
In my 20s, bartending at the NASCAR Cafe at Sahara, RIP.
Holy shit, what a life that time period
what
was.
A life. And he comes in.
No way.
Because it's Vegas. People are going to fucking... I saw so many people that just everyone has a trip to Vegas at some point,
yeah, and
right?
You go to at least like 10 fucking casinos while you're there. So yeah. It's right. A high chance. You don't think he went there for you?
No. It was like, hey, kind of like he recognized me or whatever. Ends up getting my number and is calling me that night to go hang out.
No way.
You didn't do it? Was it?
I didn't do it.
Was it one of those things where it's like, well, you've grown up.
Right. And it felt kind of like, okay, well, I'm not a teacher anymore, and you're not a student anymore, and we're just two people in Vegas. I'm here with my buddies, right? And so he's calling me, because I'm like, yeah, I'll fucking chill later, right? And I just fucking chickened out. Because I was at home by myself at that point, and I'm like, I can't do it. I just can't.
Fuck.
I know. But anyway, so no, that. I didn't.
Yeah,
I haven't.
I mean, I would think that in that situation, leaving in a fantasy would be... even better.
Yes.
Well, at least
just
you know.
God knows how
and
bad
he was like, he had
was.
Been like,
feeling it was mutual. That must feel good. At least, you know, it was all
true.
It could happen.
Or
if
does
you wanted.
That creep you out
a little bit? Because you were saying, what grade was it? Sixth,
middle, so seventh.
Seventh grade. That's it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I started to be like, he doesn't
he
think
you?
That that's. Weird. I don't know if he recognized me. I just recognized him and was like, oh my God. And then he's like, oh yeah.
It'd be
maybe just being like, I recognize you, but didn't, you know?
Yeah, it would be creepy if he came in and was like, what's up, Jesse?
Or if he yes.
If he didn't recognize you at first, it's not creepy.
You're right. If he had recognized me first, then it would be kind of like, oh dude, like you knew me then too. Like, yeah.
He was just being smooth and pretended he knew you. He didn't even have a clue
who
you were.
He was just in Vegas and he wanted to not work so hard to get laid that
drunk
night.
Drunk as shit. Poked out. He just got shot down by every stripper at every strip club that he went to.
Yeah, it was like a late night, hey, you want to meet us out, right? So you had tried to hang out with probably other people and it didn't work out.
Nothing worked out. So he was like, oh, wait, I think I got that weird lesbian softball player.
Yeah. I've got that. She used to be a real sturdy bass, but not too bad now. And maybe I'll give her a call. I don't know if he told his buddies, like, dude, she was my fucking sip. You know what I mean? I have no idea. But it all just felt very, very weird. And I went to bed.
I think you made the right choice.
You made the right choice.
Yeah.
Definitely for sure. Made the right choice.
So the answer is no. Asterisks.
Got to put the little star next to it.
Yeah.
So after hearing the conversation, Cecilia had immediately told her parents about the affair and their plan to murder Gregory Smart. Her parents brushed aside her concerns and assured her that nothing like that ever happens in Derry, New Hampshire, because nothing happens
the
bad.
The 90s?
Like, nothing bad happens in a town called Derry, which I'm pretty sure is the town that is in every single Stephen King story ever. Isn't that Derry? Like, where that's where Needful Things was, it. So nothing bad happens in Derry.
Nothing bad happens in Derry. And then again, all the 90s, it was like, teachers are all right, the kids are all liars.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, don't fucking come and tell me that your teacher did anything like that, because you're a liar.
Oh, man. Back in the day, like, anything that a teacher would tell my parents, almost without question, they would go with the teacher first.
Yes.
But there were two occasions where my parents actually backed me up against a teacher, and I fucking love them for it.
That is great. I would never do that.
Yeah. I mean, unexpected. Even looking back.
I can't.
I mean, it's kind of a... You know, not really a weird thing to take your kid's side, but I mean, kids are full of shit a lot of times. You can't believe it every single time.
Yes.
One time my mom took shit, dragged a kid out of a class for picking on me.
Ooh, how embarrassing for you.
I could see your mom doing that, though.
That's really embarrassing for you.
He taped a, you know, the compass where you can make a perfect circle?
Yeah.
Some kid taped the compass on my seat with the fucking needle sticking up, and I sat on it.
Holy fuck.
That's something else about the 90s. It's like the jokes that we would play on each other back then, the shit that we thought was funny, was way more violent and aggressive than it is now.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't hit like, my butt hole.
Jokes would draw blood.
Remember the stabbing of pencils in people? And there's like lead poisoning?
Oh, yeah.
Or like, it's like, oh, this is hilarious, dude. I'm going to die.
Yeah, if I had a nickel for every time my sister stabbed me with a pencil, yes, I could retire right now.
Yep.
She loved stabbing shit, especially me.
It's amazing you're still alive.
It's amazing that we're still friends.
That's the kinship I feel with her. Okay. There it is.
Nailed it.
So, despite the reassurance from her parents, Cecilia began to distance herself from Pamela, understandably. But when she later learned of Gregory Smart's murder, she knew exactly who had done it. Billy Flynn and his partners in crime had all been arrested, but Pamela Smart was still free. So at this point,
yes,
Billy
and
everybody else, they've all been picked up, but I wasn't able to find any, like, I don't think there was any footage of the
interrogation.
Actual interrogations or
they were
like
minors,
that
yeah.
Actually, it wasn't until much, much later that their names were even released as being associated because, I mean, they were between the ages of 15 and 16 when it happened. So the police hadn't gathered enough evidence to arrest Pamela in connection with her husband's death. And that's when Cecilia came to the rescue and agreed to wear a recording device to a meeting with Pamela. And I think the majority of the conversations that were recorded were actually over the phone. I think the only actual recording that I heard was over the phone.
Okay. I think they sound like they are, but yeah.
So during the recordings, we were looking for the recordings before the show
Hard
started.
And
we weren't able to
find
the actual confession. But in one of the conversations that Pam had with Cecilia, Pam flat out told her, like, if I tell you what actually happened, you're going to get arrested as an accomplice to murder. So I don't want to tell you what's going on. But in that recording, that's really enough evidence for them to move forward with an arrest.
Right.
Once wired up with a microphone, Cecilia approached Pamela, who sang like a bird, and she was real open about a lot of shit. Oddly enough, the only copy of the recording that I could find was just a snippet where Pamela was talking about how she felt bad that she had run over a rabbit. I think while she was driving home from school or something like that. And Cecilia's like, wait, you feel bad about running over the rabbit, but you don't feel bad about Greg's death? She was like, oh, no, I feel bad about that, too. But, and then just kept talking about the fucking rabbit.
Pam.
Little bit of a red flag. Again, Pam
Metalhead.
Pam was
Metalhead, dude.
Pam is definitely your type.
At that point, enough incriminating evidence was gathered on the recording to get a warrant for Pamela Smart's arrest.
Pamela.
What's hot for teacher?
Oh, that's Van Halen also.
That's Van Halen, right?
Yeah. Or no, hot. That's it's Van Halen.
Van Halen, hot for teacher.
Yeah. Great song, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll throw that on the beginning of this.
There we go.
Had a, I think maybe two teachers that I've ever had a crush on. One of which, you guys know who Jack Johnson is?
Yes.
His wife was my math teacher when I was in high school. Her name used to be, her last name used to be Baker, but now it's obviously Johnson. She was fucking gorgeous. Had such a, every guy in the school had a massive crush on her. And we all understood when Jack Johnson finally picked her up.
No kidding. Yeah,
she was one that actually,
she was so, bubbly toes?
I think one of the songs that came out before they got married was about her, and it might have been Bubbly Toes.
I think it was.
I think her name was Kim Baker. I know her last name was teacher? Baker. Super hot.
Oh.
I had a hot English teacher that I wanted to hook up with.
The guy that you were talking about earlier?
The, gentleman you were talking about earlier?
So, you know, they show you like what percentage, what stuff's worth. You have like your working class, your homework, and they can like break it down. I'd be like, this is worth 60%.
Yes, yeah.
So the homework in that class was worth 20% of my grade. So I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm never doing homework.
Sure.
So I just got A's on everything else, and I should have got a B. And she was so mad at me because she would say, why haven't you done your homework? And I was like, because I don't have to.
Because I'm going to do cool everything else. Yeah.
I'm cool with 80%. So she gave me an F.
And I'm, that is bullshit.
Yeah,
because she
was pissed at me.
That is fucking bullshit.
So that's another time my mom came riding in there, and so I got a D instead, so I could pass.
And I had an English teacher.
But I should have got a fucking B or a C.
In eighth grade, I had an English teacher that I just absolutely did not get along with. It was right after like a real rocky part in the life of my family, and I was just, you know, angry, shitty kid.
Sure.
And I would never do my homework in that class. And one day she stopped me while I was on the way out of class because I would be the first person out every time the class was over. I'd split. One day she stopped me before I walked out the door, and she's like, it's been weeks since you've even written down the homework assignment. You need to go back and write down the homework assignment before you leave. And I was like, the fuck? I'm not going to do it anyway. Let me go. And just walked past her.
Cool.
Rebel.
Metal, yeah, dude.
I feel kind of bad for that because it wasn't too long after that that she actually had a bit of a breakdown and like was screaming in the hallway, and the school fired her. We were a real bad class. She got like all of the shittiest kids in her class. I do honestly feel kind of bad for
it. It was your fault.
I'd say, yeah, I was in second place.
Were you guys ditchers?
In high school, 100%. There was, I think, one year I did not go. I did not go.
I ditched my entire junior year.
Yeah, had a car. Would just go to, you know, Nordoff? You guys are not. But anyways, there was like a liquor store that was literally right around the corner.
Of the high school?
Of the high school. We just sit outside, smoke cigarettes, and...
Hit up people on
the
way in trying to get them to buy a booze?
No, we didn't want to drink. I mean, it was middle of, you know, school day. So it was like just smoking cigarettes, probably weed, probably pills, whatever. Anyway, listen,
I never ditched.
We could reminisce. You never ditched?
Never ditched. So the one time I tried to ditch, I got caught. It was at lunch. I tried to sneak out, got caught, got detention and all that shit. And then there was two other times that I ditched, but both times I asked for permission.
I used to sign.
One of them had a really good reason too.
With a note from my parents.
Oh yeah.
All the time. I did get caught ditching one time with a couple of my friends smoking whatever, and this, he was a science teacher I hated. He was such a little like made a little needler, but he smoked weed. Like we knew he fucking like we knew he was just like a stoner idiot, right? Yeah. So we're all sitting there in trouble. He comes in, bad boys, what you gonna do? Right, singing that.
Oh God.
And I'm just like, go fucking smoke another, whatever I said. Like, how high are you, Mister? Whatever. And he's just like, like, you know, I was just a piece of shit. A piece of shit. Let's be honest.
Quick fun fact about the only time I ditched. It was because Starship Troopers had just come out. And that's not a joke. Like, this is actually true.
Show the tattoo, Coop.
Oh, yeah.
Show the tattoo.
Death from above.
So good, dude.
No,
it's
I gotta get
really
one.
Nice.
I got to get one now, too.
Juan Diego. Courtesy of Juan Diego.
Yeah, God bless him for doing that.
So, recording to get a warrant for Pamela Smart's arrest. So, on August 1st, 1990, 3 months after her husband was murdered, Pamela was walking through the parking lot of the high school when she was approached by a familiar face. The man's name was Detective Daniel...
Pelletier.
Pelletier, the lead detective on the murder case. He and Pamela had met multiple times over the previous months as he investigated Gregory's death. So they were working together trying to find the murderer, right? Mm. So they were in contact and she knew him and, you know, oh, any leads or what do you have?
Yeah, he'd interviewed her at least like three times at that point.
Yeah. At her house, though, I think. I don't know if she ever went in before that.
As far as interrogation, I don't think she was ever like officially brought in for questioning. She was never really looked at as a suspect in the beginning.
Yes. As he approached Pamela, she greeted him and asked why he was there. Detective Pelletier replied,
Well, Pam, I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news is we've solved the murder of your husband. The bad news is you're under arrest.
Ooh, boom. And he like says this in one of the documentaries. You know, they're doing
it. And he puts on the sunglasses and it starts playing The Who. Yeah.
No, what he did really in this documentary, I think it's called Entrapped or something. Anyways, it's one of the, there's many Pamela Smart documentaries, but he talks in all of them. In this one, particular one, he was like, let me do that again. So he says, so I said to her, right? Like he loves that he did that line, told the documentary and like, actually, let me try that again. I'm going to do it more serious. And he like says it again in that same way, like, ah, fucking.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So she got arrested?
Yes. Yeah.
Here she is.
Oh.
Yep, there she is.
Sweetie pie.
Still had time to feather those bangs, though.
I know. The 90s. No lip injections, huh?
Oh, the 90s.
Where are those lips, girlfriend?
I think that'd be one situation.
She really has not had any.
The lip injections.
Yeah. Pamela was arrested and charged with orchestrating the murder of Gregory Smart. The ensuing trial was one of the first to ever allow, like we said, TV cameras into the courtroom, turning it into a media circus. During her testimony, they were reporting on what she was wearing. It was like a fashion show, how she looked, like she was done up every time. And they were doing it like a fucking reality show. It was insane.
And this was also a circus. It's like the beginning of the 24-hour news cycle where they needed really tantalizing stories to fill up all the hours that they had. It used to be the nightly news just came on every night for like an hour or two.
Right.
It was over and done with. But this is when like news started becoming sensationalism.
Yes. And the jury selection with this, this was before they were thinking about the jury being tainted by things that are happening on TV, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't really get
nothing.
The courtroom was filled with cameras clicking. They would let them take the picture. Like it was an insane situation that had never happened before. And it was a very unique and crazy trial because of that. Even with like Menendez and OJ and stuff, they've got a press area. They don't let too many other people besides their cameras, but at this time it was just unprecedented. So it filled cameras literally all around this tiny courtroom.
Yeah. And I mean, lessons that they learned from this case, that's a reason that they've changed the rules over the years.
Yes.
Especially, you know, even immediately after that, because I think the Menendez brothers would have been the next major case.
I think that was the next one.
And then
OJ. Yeah. During her testimony, Pamela admitted to having an affair with 15-year-old Billy Flynn, but claimed that her underage lover had made the decision to kill Gregory on his own. Pamela alleged that Billy had murdered her husband after she had attempted to break off the relationship so she could work on fixing her struggling marriage. Now, not far-fetched, not out of the realm, not something that couldn't happen, right?
Yeah, it could be.
He was obsessed with her.
She just wanted to try and convince Greg to grow his hair back out.
Yeah. She was like, look, his hair's starting to grow a little bit. Let's just stop with
this.
I'm going to see if he could get the mullet back. And then I don't need you anymore, Billy. And at 15 years old, it is possible that someone just, you know, is so obsessed with having a long relationship with their hot 22-year-old, you know. So
honestly, yeah, because
out of the realm.
I think Billy even said when he was being interrogated, he said that like he fell in love with her the first time that they met, and he was infatuated with her.
Yes.
Why not just get a divorce? You know what I mean?
Hey, listen, the amount of times that we've said that.
Yeah.
It's Joel, it's not an option. It's not real easy. You know what I mean?
That must be fucking crazy, though, for that to happen to you. If you're just a kid and then all of a sudden there's 1,000 cameras in your face.
Yeah, dude.
Well, not only that.
And you murdered someone and got caught.
Yeah,
even just the process of, like, banging your hot teacher and falling in love for the first time at 15 years old. And
it's crazy enough you've slept with your teacher. Now it's like, what, bro? What? All right.
Pretty cool. She is metal. She's definitely heavy metal.
Well, actually, usually in the 80s and 90s metal scene, I think it was always the older guys singing songs about underage girls. It is fucking insane how many, like, classic rock and metal songs are specifically about banging underage girls.
Yes. Yes.
Prior to Pamela's trial, Billy Flynn and his accomplices had taken a plea bargain in return for testifying against Pamela. The prosecution painted her as a cold-hearted killer who seduced a teenage boy in order to coerce him into killing her husband. As for the motive, prosecutors alleged that Pamela wanted a divorce but was worried that Gregory would keep their home, their dog, and their furniture. Pamela was also the beneficiary of a $140,000 life insurance policy that Gregory had taken out not long after starting his job with the insurance company.
Oh.
But he took it out, and he works for insurance. So this life insurance thing not being too old, which is always a red flag, he took it out on himself. And it's because he was working at you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like she took it out on him and he didn't know, what you can do.
Yeah,
so
we've had a few
this one isn't,
cases like that.
Yeah.
After a 14-day trial, Pamela was found guilty of being an accomplice to first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and witness tampering. Despite her lawyer's efforts to convince the jury that she had no knowledge of the murder plot and that Flynn had acted on his own, the testimony of the four teen boys turned the jurors against her. She was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility for parole, and
Damn.
She is currently serving out her sentence at the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility in New York. For years and years, she was maintaining her innocence that Billy Flynn acted on his own. He was just upset that she was going to break off the relationship, so he decided to kill Greg. And it wasn't until sometime in the 2000s, I want to say, like,
I think it's recent, actually, Coop.
Even more recent?
Yeah, so I think we can get into the most recent update. But yeah, so she had been up for parole, and in the parole hearing, you have to, in order to even be considered for parole, you have to say that you did it.
You gotta admit it.
And say that the things that you have done to change yourself in that time, things that you've learned from it, you're not gonna repeat offense, you know.
Yeah.
You have to, one of the ways, you know, one of the rules, basically. And she would just never do that. She would talk about everything else, that she's found God and she's a different person. She's never offended before, whatever. Model inmate, all of that. But you cannot, that, all of that doesn't matter unless you say, I did it. Right?
Yeah, it's like you have to own up to it and show remorse.
Taking
for
responsibility,
it and, yeah.
remorse, and showing how you've changed. She wouldn't do that part for many parole hearings.
She should have just been like, yeah, we were talking about it, but I didn't actually think you would do it, you know?
Like, exactly,
it was,
right.
It was fun to talk about it, but I didn't actually think he would follow through, but he did.
Exactly right. Although in the trial, the boys laid out exactly what she told them to do, leaving the door open, put her
She's
dog.
She's all in on it. Damn.
According to them, though, right?
Yeah, are we going to get into detail exactly how they did it or no?
Yeah, I know how the process happened. I didn't put it in. For some reason, the way that it was done, like, kind of grossed me out. It seemed really graphic, even though it wasn't super, super violent. So it was Billy Flynn went into the house with, I believe it was Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
And Raymond held down Gregory and put a knife to his throat. They overpowered him, held him down, and put him on the floor. And while Raymond was holding Gregory down with a knife to his throat to keep him still, Billy just went up and put the .38 caliber revolver to his head and just shot him right in the
Holy
head one
fuck.
Time.
Yeah.
God damn.
At 15, like between the ages of 15 and 16, going through with that is such a brutal and personal way to kill somebody, where it's not in the heat of the moment. You went in there with a clear objective.
Clear objective.
And that's enough time.
But a clear, I will say, clear plan from her, according to them. So exactly, you know, how you're going to do it, how you're going to do it, that this door is going to be open. She told them to put the dog in, locked in another room so that the dog wouldn't be traumatized.
Oh, that's sweet.
We like her now, sweetie pie.
She's a good girl. Dude,
she's a good girl.
They must have been listening to Mayhem for sure.
That's such a specific.
Be around the right time.
That's such a specific detail as far as them saying this was part of the plan. That like it really was credible. That you know all the boys had, you know, the same story, and Billy like just laid out everything that she told him to do. I'm going to be gone at this time. You go in here, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what really.
But so if you are hired to tell someone how to get away with murder and they go and do it, you get charged? What if you don't know them? Like, how does that work?
Because
that's kind of what we're doing, right? With our show.
If somebody specifically asked you how to get it, like, are you instigating the murder or are you
let's say someone we do a call-in show and someone asks us how to get away with murder. Uh-huh. We're like, oh, here's how you do it. What you want to do is this and that.
Oh, would we be part of it?
And then they go and do exactly what we said.
Depends. It depends. They could call. Yeah. They could call me in, or depending on if the person that I told was like, the only reason I did it is because, you know, it's the people that when they're in interrogation, like these boys, you want to say someone else made me do this always, whether it is true or not. You want to be like, the reason I did this is because of this.
Yeah.
And also if it's credible and the police believe that that might be part of it, I am called in and could be an accomplice or a conspirator or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, but it could.
I think the onus of guilt would really hinge on whether or not you instigated it or if you were just disseminating information, because you can give.
Or if you're like talking to them while they did it.
Oh,
or
actually, the precedent for that is, do you remember the girl that told her boyfriend to kill him, like walked him through killing himself over the phone? And she, I think, got, I don't know, 5 years or something for it. But what they were, it's the first time ever that someone's been charged for murder by just texting and being on the phone with someone.
That's creepy. Yeah, that's like that proxy. Chuck Palahniuk book, the one where the dude steals the airplane.
Oh, Survivor.
Yeah, and that's what he's doing. He puts his phone number out around the city, and if they call it, they think it's a hotline to stop you from committing suicide. Mm-hmm. So these people call him late at night because they're like about to kill themselves, and he's like, "Do it. You should probably just kill yourself." So he's like killed all these people by doing that.
And see, in that situation, if you're actually instigating the act, then you can be charged for it. But if all you're doing is releasing information, there's a whole lot more gray area for that. Like right. you can put a
we're all going to jail.
Like you can put a recipe out for brownies, and it's not your fault if somebody bakes the brownies. But if you're telling people, hey, make these brownies and make them this way, then you could be charged with instigating them making brownies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So although they had been manipulated by an older woman, Billy and his friends couldn't escape the long arm of the law. J.R. Latim, who provided the weapon and getaway car, was found guilty of being an accomplice to second-degree murder. He was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility for parole after 30 years.
Shit.
In 2005, his minimum sentence was reduced, and he was released on parole later that same year.
Oh, he got out in a year.
No,
he got out in 2005, so.
Yeah, it was like 25 years later. Yeah.
25 years for driving a car. Later. It's way too
much.
Provided the murder weapon also, but him.
Okay, that
and,
makes it worse.
But you know what someone's going to do with it. If you didn't give him the gun, you know, you have to like trace it back. If he didn't get the gun, he wouldn't.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Raymond Fowler, who waited in the car during the murder as well, was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder and attempted burglary, for which he was sentenced to 30 years in prison with a mandatory minimum of 15 years. This is a 15-year-old kid that Raymond Fowler, especially, I feel like he was just riding along with a group of his friends and didn't even
no, we're going to go
think that.
Yeah,
like,
we're going to go steal some stuff from this guy's house. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you say burglary?
Every picture is worse than the last. God. I'm going to get
again,
that tattoo.
Looks just like that girl, Cecilia. Fowler was released on parole in 2003, but was sent back to prison a year later for violating his parole. Like, probably the guy that had the least amount to do with the murder ended up getting out first and then went right back to prison for violating his parole. It was probably something pretty petty, like he went out of the state or something like that. Like, it's not like he killed somebody again.
Yeah. Right.
Or failed a drug test.
Yes.
So he was sent back to prison a year later for violating his parole, and in 2005 he was released on parole once again and remains free to this day. Something that we should point out is, as far as I could tell, everybody is on lifetime parole, which means that there's no point where they're going to spend the rest of their lives on parole. So they're, for the rest of their lives, they're going to have stipulations that they have to live by, and if they violate any of those, they're going right back to prison for the same thing. So Pete Randall was also sentenced to life in prison with the possibility for parole after 40 years. Randall had been the one to enter the condominium with Billy Flynn to carry out the murder. He was the one that held him
held
down,
the
kept
knife,
the knife to his throat. While,
not knowing what, if, are we killing this guy? I mean, I'm just holding him down. And Billy's like, we're fucking killing him.
I have been in so many dumb situations with my friends growing up. I cannot imagine what it's like going through that, where even just being convinced to commit a burglary, that's pushing it pretty far.
Right.
But if you go to that point and you're holding this guy down and you've got a knife to his throat, all of a sudden your buddy comes up and just shoots him in the head with a revolver.
And you're 15, so you don't realize that your whole life just fucking changed.
For years and years.
Yep. I found this is a picture from the video when she admits that she did it. This is what she looks like when.
Okay, we will. All right.
Hold, are we getting there?
Yeah, hold that.
Yeah, almost there. So Pete Randall was eligible for parole after 40 years. Randall had been the one to enter the condominium with Billy Flynn to carry out the murder. He restrained Gregory and held the knife to his throat while Flynn used the pistol to shoot him in the head. For his role in the murder, Randall was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility for parole after 40 years. In 2009, a judge reduced Randall's mandatory minimum sentence, and in June 2015, he was released on parole.
Flynn himself, Billy the Kid, Billy Flynn, metalhead extraordinaire, coolest kid in school.
He's got to be.
He's got to be the coolest kid in school.
With that hair, playing in a band, the name
Sleeping
Billy Flynn.
Sleeping with fucking Miss Smart.
He's banging one of the teachers. Yeah, he was the coolest kid in the school.
Yep.
And that's the double standard we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely. Flynn himself was found guilty of second-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison, with the possibility for parole after 40 years. As a way of atoning for the murder, Flynn promised to not seek a sentence reduction until he had spent as many years in prison as he had spent free. In 2007, 16 years after the murder, Flynn petitioned the state for reduction in his sentence, which was denied after Gregory Smart's family opposed his request. He went on to serve another 7 years before being granted parole on March 12, 2015. So, for Pamela Smart, like I said, maintained innocence this entire time, even in parole hearings, even when she could get out. So, Smart is currently serving a life sentence for being on an accomplice to first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and witness tampering. If her request is granted, she will be eligible to ask a parole board for her release. She has unsuccessfully asked to leave to have her sentence reduced many times. But she is, I think this is the most recent. Let me look at the date. Yeah, 2024. So Pamela Smart accepts responsibility in plotting the 1990 murder of her husband with teen lover. Let's put that picture up. So she is now taking responsibility for it.
How old is she now?
56, I think. Close to 60.
She doesn't have the bangs anymore.
Yeah, feathering your bangs went out of style in like the mid-90s, which is really a bummer.
So Pam is now ready and willing to take responsibility. I don't know if she has another parole option, though.
I think she used up all of them.
She used them all up and then now is accepting responsibility. So we'll see. We will see if she gets another chance. Like, because why else would you accept responsibility unless she has something else coming up that she can try and get?
I found a picture of his body. It's a wide shot. We could show it. It's Patreon.
Oh, yeah. It looks kind of just like a crumpled up. Yeah. So she walks in.
He's on his stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They held him down. That's what I was saying. Like, it seemed really, really fucking brutal the way that they did it, especially at 15 years old. I cannot imagine being in any situation where I'd be willing to hold somebody down and put a knife to their throat while somebody else shot him in the head.
Yeah. That's insane.
Oh, okay.
I mean, nowadays, like, super easy. But when I was 15, fuck.
So if her request is granted, she will be eligible to ask for a parole board for her release. So she's accepting.
So she's got another chance.
So she has another chance to get out. She could possibly.
What do you think?
If she's going to get out?
I mean, do you think she should get out?
She did her time.
Maintaining, even through all those parole, maintaining the innocence. I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that there are a lot of like forums and people on both sides that think totally, totally guilty. And there are many forums for her being innocent where this kid was obsessed. She maybe talked about it. Who knows if they're lying about the plan that they were supposed to have. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Boys would turn against her.
So
it's a possibility they would all be like, let's all make it her fault.
15 years old, right? Like, your parents are now involved.
At that age?
If you're able to do what they did, yeah.
So, do I think she should get out? I don't know, dude.
Let her go. She didn't actually kill.
If she would have owned up to it at the beginning and did her time, went through her parole hearings and showed remorse, owned up to the
What if she actually didn't do it, though? Maybe.
That's a treat. But does she want to get out or does she want to stay in? Because she'd probably be out by now if she would have just owned up to it.
Right. Maybe that's what she's doing now. She's like, well, fuck, I'm never going to get out of here unless I lie and say
unless
I did it.
Unless I lie. So, like, who knows? She accepting responsibility because she really did? Or is she accepting responsibility because she's like, I don't care anymore what people think. I just want to get out.
As far as I could tell, like, none of these other kids had criminal background. Like, there hadn't been any violent crimes or like anything that would at least show up on the radar of the media or the police or anything like that. So it would be a first time offense. And I mean, honestly, for the 90s, even holding somebody down and shooting them in the head, that's pretty mellow compared to what people were doing.
You just watch Predator right before and you could kill anybody.
Dude, put some metal on in the car, in your grandma's 22. Car. What?
Oh, she was 22.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. And to maintain your innocence, and it was really rough for her in jail as well. Like, she got her like eye socket broken. She was beat up constantly. Like, so for her to maintain innocence with how horrible her, you know, it was for her, I don't know. There's no evidence, real hard evidence. It's all hearsay. Which is also weird. So if we're talking about the justice system working the way it should, there isn't any real evidence that she is actually connected.
The strongest piece of evidence is the fact that she told Cecilia that if I tell you what actually happened, you're going to be charged with being an accomplice for murder.
And that's on that's recorded.
Yeah, that's on the recording.
That's probably metal lyrics from a song.
Yeah, dude, she was just trying to be cool.
She's just, you know, quoting Cannibal Corpse something like that.
Like Trump said that about the FBI files or the JFK assassination. He said the exact same thing.
Right,
He was full of shit.
She was just quoting Trump.
Dude. Yeah, she was quoting Trump.
Who among us?
Now, who should stay in jail is this guy, right?
So that's Billy.
Now, we'll see. Okay, so with
I know,
Billy
that's
Flynn,
cold-blooded Billy.
Yeah, look at that.
Like,
eyes.
He is a cold-blooded, like a look in the guy's, you know, shoot him right.
The fact that he could go through with it. Well, also, I mean, he's the coolest kid in school. So the reason that he's the coolest kid in school is because he's willing to do the cool shit that nobody else does. That's why he got to bang his teacher.
It's true, dude.
No, but realistically, the fact that he publicly said that he wouldn't make any appeals or try to get out early after he had spent as much time in prison as he had spent free. He voluntarily spent 16 years in prison before trying to fight the case again as a sign of atonement. And he's never once tried to claim that he wasn't the one that pulled the trigger.
Oh, yeah. And he said it on the stand.
Yeah.
He said, I walked up to him. Yeah. Crying. He's crying.
Regretted it. And I think that him getting out on parole, I think that he did spend enough time in prison. He did his time. He got out.
Then she did too.
But like
22 ain't that much older.
You can't blame him, dude. Like, he was with a 22-year-old that could probably prolapse. If he had just said that on the stand, he would have been he wouldn't have even gone to jail.
He's like, prolapse, the roof rips off, helicopter takes him away.
Yeah, like, listen, every dude in the court, every dude juror would be like, innocent, dude.
That is the first time in my life I have ever been caught
surprised?
Off guard by a prolapse.
Well, when you see it, it's real surprising. Love you guys. High and tight.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.